You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon.
I especially congratulate those who are celebrating their name days today and tomorrow. Maria's, Elizabeth's, Nicholas's, those who are named after the royal martyrs. Congratulations on your name days. Today, brothers and sisters, we celebrate the commemoration of the killing of Tsar Nicholas and his family and those that were with him. I think it's very important for us, living as we do here in America, to understand what these people mean to us. I don't think it's necessary to go into the sacrament of anointing of a sovereign, although it's very interesting that even the Bolsheviks realize this. We as Americans who don't like monarchies at all, we don't really think about this, that the Tsar was actually crowned not because of his birthright, but by the church. So maybe it is necessary to go into this a little bit. What's very interesting about an Orthodox society, an Orthodox monarchy, is that you don't become the king because you were the firstborn. You become the king because there's a special sacrament that the church performs, which then makes you the king. This is very different than we see in the Western world, and I think it's something not insignificant. As I mentioned, even the Bolsheviks, who were officially atheists, realized fully that there was a real something there. It was very important to kill the Tsar in order to break the will of the people. But I think that there's a lot more here for us. And I do promise to be brief because I sense the excitement of the feast in this church. Everyone is very excited about the feast and they aren't contain themselves. And that's good. That's the way we should be when we come to the church. This family here is made up of a mixed sort of group of Europeans. And so as I look out into the church today here, I see nothing but a mixed group of Europeans. This family was a very pious Orthodox family. And of course, that's all we have here today. And this family spoke multiple languages, but mostly English. And we have no English speakers here today, but nonetheless, I think that it's an interesting point that especially the correspondence between the future Tsar and his future wife took place basically exclusively in English. That was the best language that they had in common between them. She, of course, was a German princess, a Russian prince, and very educated, and they spoke multiple languages, each of them, but English was their best common language. And therefore, they spoke English in their courtship and at home, mostly English. There are many reasons that we would venerate the Tsar and his family. The first of which is they gave up their life for Christ. The church actually does not even have a service for the glorification of martyrs. Actually, we had to kind of make it up as we got into the 20th century. Generally, when someone dies for the faith, their name is simply written into the calendar, and that's all. They're a martyr, and no one really talks about it anymore. That's the glorification. But sometimes, as was the case with these martyrs, there's a special service of glorification to wake people up, to make them understand that living even as we do in our easy 21st century, or at the time when they were glorified at the end of the 20th century, that nonetheless, as Christians, we have a struggle. It's unlikely that we will have to give up our life for Christ, but we have to be ready to do that. And although that sort of goes against also our societal expectation of unlimited comfort and unlimited relaxation and unlimited entertainment. Nonetheless, as Orthodox Christians, we have to raise ourselves up a little bit above that society. So, brothers and sisters, this Holy Family, which, by the way, had every opportunity to leave Russia and be safe, stayed and gave up their lives for God. These lovers of Christ took their responsibility so seriously that they were willing to stay and risk their lives and eventually to lose their lives because of their service to the society. Brothers and sisters, very few of us will be Tsar. Very few of us will be Tsarina. And very few of us will be princes or princesses. But we can all serve God and man. We can all be an example of piety to those around us. We can all love Christ. And if we do that, then we emulate this royal family. Yes, royal here on earth, but even more importantly, royal in the next life, where they wear the martyr's crowns and intercede before God for us. Let us ask their prayers that the Lord will grant us piety, that he will grant us love of God and man, that he will grant us to serve our fellow man. And if we ask their prayers in this regard, we can have hope, brothers and sisters, that we too will follow in their footsteps. Perhaps not the footsteps of martyrdom, but at least the footsteps of service and love for God and man. If this is all we can accomplish in our lives, brothers and sisters, let us be thankful that we have followed in their footsteps and they have followed in Christ. May the Lord grant this to all of us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.